On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we have the very motivational story of Ben Stolzberg. As Gil would naturally take a shine to, Ben is a Valley kid that has worked his way up the ranks with very little hype or attention. A starting point guard as a freshman at Notre Dame, he went from running an offense on an upperclassman-heavy team to taking over the squad the next season. Now heading into his junior year, he's putting up numbers that have gotten visits to UNC, Davidson, and programs across the country. Still, what makes Ben interesting is the combination of being humble while shouldering a great deal of responsibility, all with big-time expectations. He wants to be pushed, and he is never satisfied, and is locked in, absolutely locked in, on going to the league. Throw in legit talent, and Agent Zero is crafting another SoCal scoring guard that can do it all. Gil's been watching this kid for a few years now, seen the work Ben puts in with his trainer Dash, and the proof is in the results on the court year to year. Very inspirational episode of No Chill Podcast. You're going to love it, and you're going to love this kid, Ben. Remember, you can subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcasts for every episode as soon as they drop every week. Also, do the same on the No Chill YouTube channel to get every episode as soon as they're out. And remember, catch us every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fubo TV for the No Chill Show with Gilbert Arenas. Welcome to another edition of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello, and I'm joined by a guy that always has something to say, Gilbert Arenas.
Me.
That's you.
Me, yes.
I don't know if anybody's ever mentioned that before.
I'm not going to go like, I'm just going to say me. I'm not going to be.
That's almost worse.
That guy that, like, yeah, Gilbert Arenas, you know, talking third person.
I thought you were going to say, I love me some me.
I do, like, you know, but I don't want to come
That's
off
his as, line.
I don't want to come off as too cocky, you mm-hmm. know. Since I'm older, that was my younger days.
Gil, today we're joined by somebody that you know that you've worked with for a few years now, and you've literally seen him grow right before your eyes. Ben Stolzberg, welcome to No Chill with Gilbert
Arenas.
Welcome. Thank you.
So back to what I was just saying, that you've worked with Ben here in LA. He's now coming into his junior year at Notre Dame, and he's had a cool story because you made an impact as a freshman, starting varsity. Freshman PG, and then a bunch of seniors on that team. Who was on that team? Zaire Williams,
Julian Rishwin, he went to Boston College. Those are the two main players.
Okay, so that was your freshman year. Mm-hmm. And then sophomore year.
So sophomore, we had 11 seniors freshman year.
Oof.
So sophomore year, we're going into a totally new team. Everyone's young. We had, team was made up of sophomores, juniors. And I take like a leadership role. I had to take the scoring role. So I had to kind of do everything. And so I kind of welcomed it and everything turned out good.
And Gil, just his sophomore line, 23 points a game, 6.8 rebounds, 5 assists.
Yeah.
You guys went to the state semis?
We made it to the third round of Division I playoffs. We played Riverside Poly, which is a good team, and we lost. But yeah.
We also, so sophomore year.
I know.
We set the state record for threes in a season. It's another cool thing, yeah.
I made it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. First round, we played Crenshaw, got kicked out. That was it. That was second year, Westchester, first round, got kicked out. The Valley wasn't the Valley now.
Yeah, the Valleys.
Yeah, the Valley now, it's, was it Valley versus what?
Inland Empire?
Mm-hmm. IE?
Yeah.
You know, before it was just LA and then everybody else was just washed.
Yeah.
You know, so just to hear like the Valley is like, like the spot now is like, young fellas.
And you can also relate to what Ben's going through is his your sophomore year, all those upperclassmen are gone, it's underclassmen, and you got to take the team on your shoulders. You're a leader.
Yeah, so we had Zaire Williams first year. And with him leaving, like, there's a lot of shots open now. So I worked on my game that summer, became like a different type of player, and I took over that role. And I also had to take over many different roles, like leading the team, getting rebounds. We didn't have a big team. And so, yeah.
So after your first year, like with all the seniors, what role did you have then?
So the first year, my role was kind of like the point guard, create plays, offense type style that can shoot. Second year, I kind of emerged into just a scorer who can pass. because that's kind of the role I had to take. We didn't really have the best team, mm-hmm. so I had to take that role.
Okay.
You know, it's funny because we had Zaire, and after Zaire left, everyone counted us out. Mm-hmm. They said, you guys aren't going to be anything next year. You guys are young. And we really, like, we had a lot of challenges, and we pushed through, and we had a great season. And it was great.
The thing that you have in your back pocket was your freshman year. You came in, and you're a freshman point guard running the team. Mm-hmm. And they all leave for your sophomore year. So you're already prepared as a leader, which usually freshmen aren't mm-hmm. in that category yet. But then you're there. Boom, sophomore year. For your coach, you'd probably be grateful that was the situation. So it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, that's great because, you know, after your freshman year, there's a spot open. And that's to be the man. Mm-hmm. And you step right into it and, you know, you handle your business. Now, you know, you're going into your junior year and now you have to turn it up. Another notch.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really all that, you know, that's important that, you know, success last year was cool.
Mm-hmm. But now we got to get more
now
success.
Now you got to have more. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was, my freshman year, I sat on the bench on JV. And like I played, I think 12 total minutes the whole season. You know, it was a good 12. I ain't gonna lie. It was a good 12. I had like, I think I had 9 points in one of those games, like 6 minutes, I had 9 points. Back then, it was like, I wish I was on, was it B's and C's? Mm-hmm. Like, so I was too good for B's and C's, not good enough for JV. You know, I was in that mm-hmm. that
mode. Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, man, I wish I would have played JV. I mean, B's and C's, so I can average like 40.
Yeah.
I didn't have to pass them the ball, mm-hmm. you know, but I ended up making JV and just sat the bench and then got so angry and just trained like a madman that whole summer, played in an adult league, spent my money for the adult leagues. And then I got seen by a guy named Eric Brown in an adult mm-hmm. league. And he said, oh, you should try out for, you know, the Grant High School. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, yeah, I live across the street from Grant. Okay. Tried out, said, you're going to be our varsity point guard. Mm-hmm. So we have like the little summer league, like the little preseason summer league thing. And I play with him in the summer. And then had 21 against a guy named Isaiah Thomas. He was like the guy here.
Yeah.
And had 21
another
against
Isaiah Thomas.
He was another Isaiah Thomas. He was light-skinned. And my coach pulled me out and said, hey, you're going to be an NBA player. Get the fuck out of here. And he was like, yeah. So when the school started, he kicks our center off, which was Tyson Chandler's cousin. His name is George. Kicked him off. And then he kicked off our starting shooting guard, kicked him off, and then told our three, our small forward, Robert Lozano, he's like, mm-hmm. hey, either you can say you played with an NBA player, or you can leave too.
It's crazy.
So he just kicked everybody off and just gave me the team, said, I don't want nobody poisoning his mind.
Yeah.
So I was like,
that's got to give you a lot of confidence.
What? Like, yeah. You know, I went from playing on JV, I mean, 9 minutes in JV to mm-hmm. just getting the whole team and just say, here, do you. Like, oh, okay.
You know, so, but you put in the work, that's why.
You know, exactly. that's all it's about. It's, you know, just about just putting in that work. Like when I was doing the academy and you were there, mm-hmm. and just to see how hard you were mm-hmm. going every possession, every minute of it. You know, and I know some of the drills was a little bit different, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, because I was a point, I trained like a shooting guard.
Yeah.
So most of my drills was catch, shooting, running. Yeah. You know, so that's how I trained. I trained like a shooting guard because I'm going to have the ball. Mm-hmm. So now if I can get these movements down of, you know, coming off screens, doing this, it actually helped my shooting.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, when I seen you and I was like, he's really talented. You mm-hmm. know, like you can see he has that, you know, that fire, that will to get better. Mm-hmm. And that's what I seen early.
Thank you.
One thing you just mentioned, so training, the difference between training as a point guard, training as a two guard. Point guard, you would think a lot of the training comes is ball handling, creating your shot off the dribble, mm-hmm. looking like to facilitate, whereas a two, it's stuff that's V-cuts, coming off mm-hmm. screens. That,
well, you know,
but really you should do both.
I think nowadays the game has really changed. Point guards like Steph, they need to know how to run off a screen and catch and shoot. Mm-hmm. So what we've been doing, we've been kind of doing everything. So we'd have a day where we just go off pick and roll, learning reads right off the pick and roll. And then we have another day where we just work on coming off screens and learning different footworks into shots. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to mix it up just to make like more dynamic, you know?
The reason completing your game as a guard is because every level someone's coming, mm-hmm. right? Like your junior year, another guard might come. Mm-hmm. Or you might want to play with another guard that you guys, yeah, but you guys are the same,
yeah,
right? You might go into your senior year, some guy comes in. College. So what ends up happening is you don't want to be a player that can only play a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like if you're used to playing pick and rolls and now that whole league is playing zone, everything you've taught yourself does not translate. Mm-hmm. You know, so what ends up happening is like if you see Steph, as deadly he is with the ball and pick and rolls, when he don't have the ball, he's just as deadly. Yeah. So, you know, you have to train in ways so if another point guard comes in and he's a pass for a point guard, it's no beef there because they can put you to the two because you're just effective running off screens.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to be like the CJ McCollough and Dame Leonard mm-hmm. at every single level. Like you don't have to worry about a guy coming in and you guys are fighting for that position where you can like, oh, just move to this. Mm-hmm. But they can put three guard rotation because we all play in different realms. Yeah.
Is that something that went into Steph, where I think of Davidson, Steph in college, right? When he was unlimited range that he has now in the NBA, was mm-hmm. it because he was facing zones and he needs to spread? He was saying, I can actually pull up from beyond the NBA because in college, the college three, everyone's just guarding that.
Well, I think something we were just talking about actually, in Davidson, he wasn't punished for anything that he was doing. Mm-hmm. So he was able to shoot all those shots and confidence-wise, that probably built him up. And now in the NBA, he feels confident that he can shoot those, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, you know, like confidence starts from, you know, an early age, but confidence starts from success. Mm-hmm. Seeing yourself do it over and over and over. You know, training, putting in the hours, and then letting it show in the game. And that's why I always said, you know, with coaches, you know, you can't handcuff players mm-hmm. to your vision of what they are. Mm-hmm. Because your vision of what they are versus the vision that they have for themselves is two different things. So if this kid is doing 3 hours of skill development work and this and this, and when he tries the moves in a game and you yank him, those 3 to 6 hours of training goes down the drain. Because you took the confidence of everything he thought he was getting better at, you took it away. You got to let the person explore the ability. Mm-hmm.
But for a coach, that's a fine line to walk because a coach has a plan. They have their strategy. You are who you are as a player, and they can't let you be completely unleashed. You have to agree with that.
You're not going to be a good coach if you go by that motto.
No, I'm just saying historical coaches.
Historical coaches from what, 60s, 70s, and 80s?
No, I'm not talking like Bobby Knight. No,
Bobby Knights and stuff?
But the idea is, you are who you are as a player. You have your identity and your perspective on the game, but there's 13, 14 of those on a team.
I don't think a coach should have a system and try to fit players into that system. I feel like a good coach would look at his players, look at their strengths, and build a system that can coexist with their strengths. And that's kind of what makes a team great. You know?
See, that might be the perfect coach.
No. So what happens now is this. Back a long time ago, there was really no skill development. Like either you worked on your own, but you know, a coach is team systems, right? Mm-hmm. So now that everyone has trainers, everyone's skill is increasing. As a coach, you have to understand what everybody's doing, what everybody's getting better at, what they're training on. So when you're putting in systems, it benefits everyone's skill that they're working on outside of your system. Yeah. But the fact that most of these coaches aren't kind of hurts certain players because you're not adjusting. Like the skilled, talented players, they always find a way. They always loophole any system mm-hmm. because that's what makes them, you know, that's what makes them good because they can loophole through any type of system. But if you don't have the ability to adjust on the fly, because a coach, I don't believe a coach can make a great player. His system can benefit from his his style. You can build a, you know, you can build a system around a style like a D'Antoni around a Steve Nash. But Steve Nash is already Steve Nash. Mm-hmm. James Harden is always, but you
that
can-
That system can make the player shine.
Yeah, you can make them shine because you're highlighting their true gift.
Yeah.
But players make coaches better because if you see the talent, you build your system around the talent, yeah. It becomes easier. You know, mm-hmm. if you got a guy who can do 1-4 flat and you don't have to fucking call a play and be, you know, we're gonna sit here and we're gonna do a back. If you don't have to do that, fuck it.
Yeah, why do
that? 1-4 flat, do you.
That's what I mean. Those old school coaches were doing that. X's and O's. You stay here. You know, like now I think there's modern players, there's modern coaches that know that modern players are so skilled right now that they have to be able to work with that skill set.
Yeah. You have to. What's the coach, Syracuse?
Jim Behan.
The fact that he's still running the zone, don't know why he still has a job. I really don't know why he still has a job because in theory, Syracuse players should, like, it will hurt them going to the next level.
Yeah. Well, I was just gonna cut you off there. Think about who's the best player that's ever come out of Syracuse?
Melo?
Melo.
There you go. One and done. He was a great recruit, but he really, that was the one year that they won the championship,
mm-hmm.
and he was a one-on-one player.
Yeah,
you know, where that 2-3 is the system for college.
Yeah, because if you're putting a 2-3 system in, that means your whole defensive strategy is built on placement. Mm-hmm. So none of you guys know how to play one-on-one defense. You know, you guys really don't know how to play help defense because you're already set in a what's-his-name. So what ends up happening is when you translate to the NBA, you actually went backwards.
Yeah.
You know, so it can hurt, you know, a type of player due to the systems.
So where you're at now, we said you had a hell of a first two years in high school. What do you want to accomplish next coming into junior year?
Well, now we're just focusing on winning. Just we had some success, but we want more success. We want to win league. Want to make a further in the playoffs. And everyone on the team is developing on their own, doing their own working out. And so the goal right now is just to win. Yeah.
How about individually?
Individually? So I feel like I want to get that exposure that I kind of haven't had in my, like, early on. And by doing that, I just got to do more scoring, play harder, play better, basically, and that's how I'll get it.
Like, I'm not even gonna lie. Winning league, I didn't really care. Making it to the playoffs, probably wasn't even my thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Scoring 50 a game, that's all I thought about. Like, I thought about every time I stepped on that court, whoever tries to guard me, I'm trying to embarrass you for the night. That was my whole, that was fun. If you ask anybody about how I was invited, that was my whole existence. Mm-hmm. Trying to embarrass you. If I got into the adult league, trying to embarrass you the whole time. Because I felt that the winning is going to come with it if I'm going 2,000 miles an hour. If I'm playing the hardest I can play, if I'm playing to my strength. You know, we went from 7 games my first year to 21 games.
Yeah.
You know, with the same group. There was nobody came different, you know, but in high school, what I did was you have a team that's trying to build, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for me to be at the gym, you know, I lived across the street, so I'm working out 6 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning, go home, take a shower, eat breakfast, then come to school. But when it comes to team, we were playing at lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
So we was having full 5-on-5 games outside at lunch. Like, I mean, it became to the point where, like, kids from North Hollywood, kids from Van Nuys were hurry up and come so they can be part of the game. It was like,
that's crazy.
It was like a big thing. Like, I mean, the court was like, it was like a Rutgers game. Mm-hmm. And we'll be out there just going full
in
blast.
In your school clothes?
No, we already, P, you know, you get your...
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was recess.
Some kids came in their pants, but back then no one cared. You know, so we started doing things like opening up the gym at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so my sophomore and junior year, we were playing outside. Then it went, my senior year, we went into the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's like, I don't know if you guys have nutrition still.
Yeah.
Nutrition, I will be running to the gym to get our dribbling and our free throws in as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And then lunch, Some days we'll play, some days sit on a three machine and get that. And then, you know, that's how we was building.
So you guys were building like together.
Together.
That's,
yeah. You know, so, you know, making sure, keeping everybody accountable, making sure, okay, you had bad free throws, you know, this
you
week.
Work on that.
You work on that at nutrition. You work on that at lunch. So you're really watching each other grow every single day, because in reality, you don't know what each other's doing. So if we're only going to go practice, this is every time we practice, it's only during practice. Mm-hmm. How many shots are you really taking a day?
Not that many.
You know what I mean? How many, you know, free throws? How many of this? Because it's a team practice. So, you know, if someone's not working out, he's only getting 20 shots a day, 15 shots a day. He's going to be useless during game time. You know, so the fact that you got to make 100 threes, you got to make 53, and we're doing that every single day.
Yeah.
Now, that person that you wouldn't normally pass it to, you're going to make the pass because
you trust
you know
him.
You trust him because he's been putting in that work.
Yeah.
So, Gil, we're joined here by Ben Stolzberg, and we talked about you've had this great journey so far, 2 years of high school, and you're at this place now where you're now an upperclassman. That's a game changer in high school. So your role as a leader on the team, it requires you to be more active with your teammates as a leader. So what are you doing coming into your junior year as a leader?
I think I kind of like the way I'm thinking about leadership now is I want to be able to push my players to become something greater. Want to make sure that I lead by example. One thing that I saw in the Jordan documentary that I was watching is that Jordan never made any of his players do anything he wasn't doing. So I want to be able to be that person where that if I'm working out in the weight room, I'm getting that work and I'm going hard, I'll be able to tell my players, you guys got to go harder. So that if we all work together, we all go hard together, we'll be able to be better as a whole.
You know, since I've, you know, watched Jordan growing up, I know his personality. I know Kobe's personality. You know, there's this real fine line between that alpha and everyone else. So, like, people get turned off by the Jordan and the Kobes. Like, if you heard the players, Kobe's last year, he's like, oh, you know, we don't like him. Because what you demand,
greatness,
they don't have yet. So what ends up happening is the more you fight, sometimes the more they buck. You know, and it's kind of damn if you do, damn if you don't type of method. Because as the alpha, as an engine, you already have it. You don't need them to tell you, do 10 more push-ups. But you got to tell them to do it. You know, so you have to figure out who wants it and who doesn't. You know, and it's one of those things where you got to, you know, you got to, if you guys want to be great, you guys want to do this, I shouldn't tell you this. You should be willing to do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and you figure out, like, who you can talk to that respond. You know, some guys, you know, you're talking about 12, 13 different personalities. And it's your job to try to figure out what makes them tick, what makes them don't. Like, sometimes I can yell at you, and you respond. Boom. Go out there and play angry. And I can yell at him. He shuts down. So
as a leader, you got to be able to know your personnel, your personalities on the team. And that's, you talked about it perfectly.
And for some teams, the dynamic is you have help as a leader. It's not just you. Whereas the Jordan Alphas, because it's like everyone's on my back, either you're on or you're not here. That's why I think Jordan says something to that effect. Like, if you don't like to play that way, don't play that way, and you're not on that team. But other teams, and I'm thinking of like your Wizards team, is you had kind of a leadership committee. So whereas like you have Karan was kind of the diplomat in that sense, you were leading by example, but also learning how to keep things light and the chemistry there. Do you have help as leader, Ben?
We have some other players who, even though they might not be the most talented, they know how to like talk to the players if they're like someone's having a bad game. But really, it's mostly me. It's me and my coach.
Okay.
So the coach takes a big leadership role in that too.
You know, when it comes to like leadership, you have so many different kinds of leaders. Like, we'll take, was it the 2004, you know, Timberwolves, right?
With KG?
KG.
Mm-hmm.
KG's the alpha.
Yeah.
You know, that alpha, but he wasn't the leader.
Yeah.
You know, that was Sam Cassell. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, Sam Cassell was the alpha. Sam Cassell was the guy who was going to last 4 minutes. He's making everything happen. You know what I mean? Then you had, you know, your Sprewells. You have different personality. Like, some guys before games are silly. Mm-hmm. You know, as a leader, you got to understand that, okay, he's silly. I'm serious. I can't let that, you know, yeah. I can't that get me upset and say, okay, he's not ready to play. Some guys, that's a big misconception in sports that, you know, like, some players are really serious mm-hmm. before game. They don't talk to me. They let me focus. Some guys are, you know, they're jokesters. Yeah. Like, you know, me, I was 50-50. Like, I was never serious. Like, I wasn't going to be in there like, you know, like, that's going to be a shitty game.
Well, there's a real difference nowadays, because I know how you feel about this, is you were silly to an extent, but when you crossed that line, you locked in.
Yeah,
you were focused.
Yeah, on the court. Like,
but how about these guys now? You've seen this too, Ben, is, you know, shooting the arrows and posing after threes and all that stuff, where that's where the silliness becomes a distraction.
Okay, I look at that like, if it works for them, then it works for them.
But if you had a teammate doing that, would you be cool with it?
Depends on who it was.
If they're killing.
That's what I said. It depends on his personality. If his personality is that type of antics guy, mm-hmm. then you take that antic away from him. What does he really have to motivate himself? You know, like, no matter if they're doing it, that was part of Steph's thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he shoots the free throw and he leaves the arm up running down the court the whole time. That's his antics. That's what got him going.
Yeah.
You know, so if he was, like, you can see that when he only did it when he caught fire. And when he caught fire, he, you know, it's a self-booster. Mm-hmm. So, you know, back then there was really no, you know, you got your silly guys, you know, joking and mm-hmm. telling jokes at the end of the bench. You know, it all depends. It's a different. It's who you are. Like LeBron. Like, for a superstar, think about it. When you talk about that level, Kobe, Jordan, mm-hmm. Tiger Woods, you know,
Tom Brady.
Mayweather, Tom Brady, he's probably the goofiest one out of all of them. He shows the most human behavior. You know, he's going to do his little stuff. He's going to give you the handshakes and do all the dances mm-hmm. because that's who he actually is. You know, so he finds who's goofy and we're going to have our fun, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm going to play hard. That's what I do. But I'm not going to be one of those rah-rah guys that, you know,
super intense
and get a technical as soon as you look at me because I'm angry.
Because that's also really hard
to
do.
That works for those guys.
Yeah,
but then what happens when you're down a little bit or there's something that you're going through and you're usually super intense? Like, you need your teammates to pick you up.
Well, it all depends.
I was going to say there's different types of leaders. Mm-hmm. You might have that person who is like the motivator. Mm-hmm. You might have the person who, like a Steve Nash, who coordinates everything on the court. Mm-hmm. That's a form of leadership. Yeah. So there's different types of people that have different leadership qualities, I'd say. And again, you have to understand that, know who's who and what they do. You know?
Yeah, you know, if you look at, like, the staple of what a leader is in society's, you know, notion, nobody would ever like the leader.
No.
Like, if you just take the leaders of, like, the Jordans, the Kobes, the Bradys, you actually dissect their personalities, no one's going to like them mm-hmm. because they demand too much. Mm-hmm. They demand that everything is level 10, level 100.
There's times.
All times.
Well, you know,
so there's no slack.
There's some people don't want to make those sacrifices.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's what separates leaders from the pack.
Some people just can't. Physically, they can't. Mentally, they can't. You know, but if you put a microphone on Brady and had to hear him, I guarantee you would not like what comes out of his mouth. You know, you're not, because he demands everyone to be like him, practice like him, what's the name like him, because if he can mimic 100 of him, that's the mentality.
Yeah, it's like if you didn't know it, and especially if you didn't know the game or the sport, and you saw that footage of them mic'd up and on the side, you'd be like, that's an asshole. And if you had a regular job, you would not want to work with that person, and that person wouldn't have that job.
Like, in your document, how many times did Jordan yell at Pippen and Rodman.
Really?
Really. Well, didn't have to.
Again, yeah. Like, if you, again, in the documentary, he knew Rodman's mentality. Mm-hmm. He knew he had to let him be free.
Let him be free.
So that's that was Jordan's leadership. Mm-hmm. He knew what his players were, and he knew what they needed.
Remember that part where he got choked up, though? And he said, you know, he knew, he in his mind, he probably lost some relationships that way because of his style.
Who, his? I mean, I guess, you know, when you're reflecting back on what you were, you got to remember what he was he was a wild lion. He was the tiger. He's the king of the jungle. Mm-hmm. You know, like through in the NBA, like this is who I am. So his demand back then, and he has to look at it now when he's not that tiger, is probably the upsetting part. Like, man, I can't believe I was talking to my players like that. What was I thinking back then? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the part where you get teary-eyed up because it's like, oh, this is why they don't talk to me, or this is, but in his defense, it's like, well, I got them 3 championships. Wasn't that what it was about? Championships?
At the end of the day, he won and he was successful. Mm-hmm. So.
So we mentioned Jordan. Are there other leaders that you are learning from right now?
So me and Dash, we watch film most on Steve Nash, mm-hmm. Steph, those type of people trying to understand their reads and their game. In terms of leadership, I guess watching the documentary kind of helped that part of mm-hmm. understanding leadership. And that's how I'm going to try to approach it now, because he was successful and mm-hmm. that's the success I want in my life.
You like, I remember, like, so like Mamba mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Is the same thing as, so Mamba mentality is technically what everyone was watching yeah. on the documentary. That is, so, you know, people didn't actually like Kobe's mentality mm-hmm. because they couldn't, like, you gotta remember, if you don't understand what it takes to be the top, mm-hmm. you're not gonna like the road that it's, you know, there's no friends. You're not making friends on a way to be the greatest. So what ends up happening is the mentality is, it is selfish. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those mentalities, listen, if I take 2,000 shots a day, you take 200 shots a day, why am I passing you the ball? You know, why am I actually giving you the ball? That is actually the worst decision at that mm-hmm. point. My bad shots
are
better than your good shots. You know, and that mentality in team sports is really sometimes hard to digest.
Yeah.
Because everyone actually thinks team sports should be fair. Everyone should be equal when everyone's not equal.
Yeah.
This is not.
You mentioned mob mentality with Kobe, though. It wasn't like that for him at first. Obviously, he was young when he came into the league. Obviously, he had Shaq. He had another, I don't know if Shaq was an alpha in that way of what you're talking about, but it was Shaq's team at the time. When did that change for him, where he became that hardwired tough guy? What are you smiling at?
He was always like that.
He was always like that. Yeah. That was the beef.
He was always like that, but then with Shaq out of the way,
you got
the
same,
it opened
but
that
you
up.
You got to remember, that was the real disconnect, that you have one guy who's alpha. Mm-hmm. We got big fella who's an alpha too, two different alphas, but one is a workaholic alpha. Mm-hmm. Like, he's working to be great. One is gifted. So when they're sitting there looking who's the lion, one's stats and one's size says he's the alpha, when the other one's like, nah,
you know,
I put in the work. So how is this fair that I work my ass off 3-4 times a day, he practices for 15 minutes, and then we're calling 5 down all the time? No. So the more success Kobe was having, eventually it came to that point where, all right, make a decision. Mm-hmm. Me or big fella? And, you know, and that's always been his mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at his mentality from, you know, high school to, it's been the same.
Just put in the work.
Put in the work, and you know, it's that's it. You know,
work is one thing, but also the confidence.
Confidence stems from the work that you put in. If you put in 1,000 shots a day and you're hitting those shots, you're confident in your shot, so that in the game, you'll be able to shoot that shot.
Yeah.
So in your mind, it's already going in.
But see, that's the problem with, you know, I think coaches and, you know, outside, you know, people. If you have a guy putting in 1,000 shots, 800 shots, and this and this, and you're telling him to play team ball, and you're telling him to sacrifice, you know, for the betterment of the team, that mentality is sitting there like, I'm working to be the best ever, and you're telling me to downsize it, to give the ball up and make plays for people who don't even put in work. No, that's not what I'm going to do. Like you're telling, like it's like telling Westbrook, don't average a triple-double. Average, you know, 25-4.
You gotta let him play.
And he was like, 25-4. Who's going to make up all the stuff I'm going to do and add? Like the fact that I'm averaging 10, 12 rebounds and 10 assists means someone else is not doing their job. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing it for them. So me telling you not to play as hard is actually doing a disjustice for the team. And Kobe's done pulled that before. Going to the fourth quarter, you say these guys sacrifice for them, huh? All right, let's go. Dude, you can't do it? You can't do it because you're not putting in the work. See, you want me as the Superman is to basically cook the whole meal for you. Mm. Cook it, display it, and then feed you the food. And then you can be like, yeah, you see how good I'm playing? Like, no, you're...
I think that's where that resentment can come from. Because it's like, okay, I have to be Superman every night. And you can be conditioned to it because you put the work in for that. But then you would like that support from your team. And then when you have it, it's kind of like when LeBron went to Miami. It was just like, man, this is beautiful because I'm prepared for all of it, but I don't have to do it all myself.
It's the illusion of... like teams himself, like making players better. You can't make a Honda a Ferrari. The Honda has to do it itself. You have to put in the work, get your engine, and you are here. Like Steph Curry didn't make Klay better. Klay's practicing made Klay better. When KD got there, KD didn't make Curry better. Curry didn't make KD better. You got now Bugattis on the same court playing with each other. You know what I mean? It's not like we're building. It's not like they built up some damn, he came into the league and he averaged 2 points and we're like, all right, I'm going to hook you up and now you're averaging 25 with us. No, that's not how that shit happens.
Yeah.
I mean, Patrick Beverley's played with James Harden, right? He has Kawhi with him now, Paul George. Is he averaging any more points? No. Because that's not his role.
It's not his role.
It's not his role, so he's not practicing. But that's what I'm saying. It's like they're not making his game better. They're just all playing great together.
And we're here with Ben Gill, and we've talked about you've had a hell of a couple of years, you know, starting as a freshman point guard on a veteran team, sophomore year, putting the team on your back a bit, you know, and averaging 20-plus a game. Mm-hmm. What was the greatest challenge you've had so far?
I think the mental part of the game for me. Other than like, I always put in the work. I always try to get bigger, try to get more athletic, put in that. But that wasn't a challenge for me because I love to work. Mm-hmm. Challenge was developing that alpha dog mentality and putting the team on my back when I needed to. And sometimes during the season, caused some problems. We had some chemistry issues and we had to work through that and find like a median kind of. So that was kind of a challenge.
That's private school. Find a median. What? There was no, like.
That's well prepared. It's
easier,
it's easier
for me, like.
It's also the modern era.
But I gotta remember, on every level, it's, you gotta remember when you're here, it's either get on this train or get off the train. Yeah. You know, sorry I'm a fringe, but, you know, like if I'm averaging 40 and you guys are saying, yo, you're not passing me the ball. Okay, like, get the rebound, get it off the glass. When I do give it to you, do something with it. Because obviously, I'm shooting this many shots for a reason. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm just saying, oh yeah, I know you can shoot the hell out of these threes, and I'm just gonna be like, and let me go in here and make these layups. No, there's a reason.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason. So, you know, it's like either we all get on the same page. If you can't keep up, this is just not the race for you. You might want to transfer. You know, because if you don't know how to be great with me, it's difficult. You know what I mean? Like Westbrook goes to Houston. Did James Harden take a back seat?
No.
34 game. Mm-hmm. Westbrook is like, I don't even care about the 34. I'm still going to average 27.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's averaging 20, 34 and 27. Great players will figure it out.
I think a lot of times people who aren't as good, they feel like it should be handed to them, yeah, maybe.
That's exactly.
And that's kind of the problem I had this year with my team. A lot of times people thought like they deserve the shots just because they're on the team.
Club, yeah.
And that sparked problems because I was shooting a lot.
And that's usually the problem that, you know, it's that idea that's been put in our brains that, you know, the best player makes everyone better. But when you break that whole theory down, it's basically saying that I'm gonna cook the meal, I'm gonna fix it up, and I'm gonna put it in your mouth, and you're just gonna chew and swallow. Like, that's not how this works. Like, you make your own meals. You make your own meals just like me. I'm cooking and doing all this myself. Mm-hmm. I'm putting in the work. I'm conditioned. I'm doing exactly what it takes for me to be here. Do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Don't just let me go here and say.
But what if they don't? The reality is they probably don't do the same thing, yeah, especially if you're on this higher level.
But that's why they don't get the ball. Like, you know, and that's.
But then you're going to hear from them. That's the problem. How do you solve that problem? You're still going to hear from them. What's your answer to them when they're saying, I want shots? Everybody wants the ball, right? That's the reality of everyone wants touches. What's the answer?
I just like somebody with a hearing aid, turn it off. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
Okay, at the end of the day, Ben, what's your answer?
Well,
that's what he's trying to figure out.
That's the problem that we have. I've come to this thought now during the summer mentally is that I want to be great. I want to make it to the league. That's my goals. And I'm going to do whatever I need to accomplish that goal. Mm-hmm. And if that means I have to shoot every shot, I got to shoot every shot, you know?
All you do is just go into the season and say, listen, everyone can't get 30 shots. Mm-hmm. But if you're telling me to trust you more, show me.
You have to show me.
Show me. This is not one of those things where we're just going to go into the games and you're saying, give up this shot for we are called a better shot because you're open. Have you been putting in work for you to be open? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like PJ Tucker, the reason he gets that ball.
He's proven that he
can
hit it.
Because he's proven he can make it. You know what I mean? Exactly. So prove to me, like let's show each other. You see the work I'm putting in, show me the work you're putting in. How many shots are you taking? You know what I mean? How many shots? When are you taking these shots? Are you, you know, just give me the confidence to believe in you. Mm-hmm.
And the reality is the ball will find those players, right? So it's like if they put in the work, they'll have their moment to prove it. And that's the great part about team sports in basketball is because for a guy like PJ, he knows to get to the corner, the mm-hmm. ball will swing and get to him, and he's confident in his ability to knock that down. He's not trying to ISO guys like James would, mm-hmm. but on a team, okay, James, that's what you do. I'm going to do what I do and get to the corner.
You know, so you don't have to really, you don't, it's not that you have to sacrifice your greatness, mm-hmm. right? The sacrifice is saying, all right, listen, if we're going to come to a happy medium, the medium is everyone just gets better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're a three-point shooter, shoot more threes. Shoot more threes. Get better. Shoot 300. Shoot 4. So when I'm coming down and I make that pass, I know it's cash money.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I know when I make that pass, I can just turn around and put my hand up because I know it's going in because I've seen you shoot that hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the confidence that, because even in the NBA, in the NBA, I had players that they're double teaming me and they're like, pass me the ball. For what? For what? To give it back to me? You should be ashamed that they're leaving you to come double me. That you should be ashamed that we're at the highest level of sports and they're doubling off of you. I'm passing to you so you can pass the shit right back. Like that's you should be embarrassed. You know, like if you're not embarrassed that you're a professional player making $10, $12 million and they want you to shoot the ball. Like they're doubling me so I can pass it to you so you can shoot that brick. That's yeah. That's the reason I didn't pass you, because we all know that's going to be a brick. So you need to start working on your jumper, because obviously they're leaving you for a reason.
And then I'll be able to trust you to hit it.
Yeah.
So we've talked so far about your individual accomplishments, your work as a team, what you're putting individually. We haven't talked about opposition. So the past two seasons, things have progressed for you. What have you noticed different that other teams are throwing at you?
So last year, I got a lot of double teams. A lot of just because other teams watch film. Mm-hmm. They're trying to take away what I want and try to make me not do that, kind of. And I think I'm skilled enough to be able to do other things and get a shot or get other people open.
So going into your junior year, you got to remember, it's the same league.
Yeah.
Same coaches. That means they have the same mindset. Mm-hmm. So they're going to think the same thing works again.
Yeah.
So everything that someone's tried, all you do is just take it, right? Because you got to remember, the defensive principles don't change.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same concept. We're going to push him over here we're going to feed him here. We're going to push him down here. So what you do is you take everything everyone was doing, right? And you study now off of that.
Yeah.
All right, so he was pushing me here to do this. So now my training is going to start doing that. So when it comes now and you're beating them with it, they don't have an adjustment for it.
Because you can do so many different things.
Like that was the adjustment. That was the egg. Like, we're going to push them this way. Yeah. And they don't have a plan B.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's what I said. My senior year, I had a boxing one on me, and then I had the triangle and two on me. You know, so I have two people say, none of it worked.
Yeah.
It didn't matter because I didn't have to pass it. Like, you know what I mean? And then when I did, I had dead shooters. You know what I mean? So it was like, I got my shooting guard was like smoking shooter. My point guard was a shooter. Like, I ended up going to the two my senior year. So, you know, so if the triangle and two is on me, I'm just going to run them off screens all day. You know, so I was, you know, I was in condition. So it was just, my whole team is looking for me. We're going to double, triple. It didn't matter.
Well, for Ben, you know, okay, so you're preparing now in the summertime going into the season. When you have to make adjustments in season, how do you do that? Because you can prepare all these, you know, all these scenarios and develop your packages.
By watching film.
You watch film and you prepare. You got to remember, you got to prepare the summer. So, like, whatever.
But I'm saying we're past that.
What I'm saying is whatever you're lacking, that's what you work on. You work on your weaknesses in the summer. You got to remember, your strength, your natural ability, it doesn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, so whatever you're great at doesn't. What you got to watch on film. See, film captures what you can't do.
Yeah.
See, like, you know, if I say, oh, can you, you know, go right and do, you know, a pull-up right or a pull-up, you know, step back to the right. Mm-hmm. In your mind, you're going to pull out clips that, yeah, I can do that and do that. Mm-hmm. But when you look on tape, you're like, maybe I'm not that good at, you know, I'm not as strong with that. That's what you work on. Because going left, that's your bread and butter.
Yeah.
You know, it's going right and doing it. So you figure out one or two things that you need to clean up, and you clean it up.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we trained going into each year. We're taking one or two things and we're cleaning it up the whole summer. Because that's going to add with everything else we already had. You know, so like when you see Kobe, the next year he comes with a pump fake, and then the next year the double pump fake. You know what I mean? He's just adding this extra stuff to what he already had.
Because the defense going to try to guard that thing that he was doing really well. So he needs a counter.
Yeah, he's countering. You know, so but the counter is always added. Like, you know, I remember when Dwayne Wade came back with the bank shot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first like 10 games is like, what is that? And then you realize, well, that was his new thing. Mm-hmm. The bank was his new thing. Then it became the pump fake. And then, you know, then he had the pullback, you know. And when you add all of it, by the time you 6-7 years, you have a full, complete arsenal.
And we know it's confidence is what you always need to have, always on 100. So it's looking at it, maybe it's not a weakness so much, you just want to master it. And that's another thing. So for what you're studying in film is, I got that, but I don't have it mastered and unlocked yet.
Yeah. Well, I think you can never be, like, there's always places to improve. Mm-hmm. Especially for me, I'm young. So when I watch the film, when I look at myself, like, even if I'm hitting shots, I got to hit them more consistently. Mm-hmm. If I'm getting to the bucket, how can I get to the bucket and be stronger when I go up? So just expanding and getting more advanced at the things that I might be good at or the things that I'm not good at. And that's what the film is for. And that's what we work on in the summer.
Okay. I remember I had to break it down to, you know, Devin Booker. It was, you know, was it a year ago?
Last summer.
It was last summer when he was mad about getting double teamed, mm-hmm. right? And I said, I'm going to give you this advice now. You're going to learn it 2-3 years from now, but I'm going to give it to you 3 years earlier. Double teams in the summer is amazing. You want to be double teamed because that's the only time you're going to actually get to practice against it, mm-hmm. right? That's the only time he was going to be able to practice against a real double team in real time. Mm-hmm. Because in practice, you're just practicing. You're not double teaming you. So the only time he was going to ever see a double team was in the game. That's too late. It done took 25 to 50% of your game away because they double teamed because it's the first time you're seeing it. Mm-hmm. So if you have never trained for it, and worked on it, it would be hard for you to catch it in real time. So if you're practicing, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the best player, obviously, what they're doing in practice is meaningless to you. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna have to go into your practice training on something. Like if it's left-hand layups, mm-hmm. that's all you're gonna do. When you're working, you're trying to work on, because you got to remember, you're gonna pull it out in the game, but where are you gonna try it out first?
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to go into the game and tell, hey, I'm only doing left hand layups. I'm only doing step backs. I'm only doing spin fades. So now everyone who's guarding you knows exactly what you're doing. So when you do pull it off, that means you really got them with it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how you prepare and train, you know, game-like. Like doing it in Dash's workouts is just getting the movements now, but yeah. to get it when there's 5 players, 2-3 referees, you have to really start, you know, implementing your stuff into practice.
Yeah.
And that's how you make that extra leap. Mm.
Yeah, so that's something we've been doing now. So we'll work out 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. 3 out of those 5 days we're playing. Because we're in like a little group. We're all more advanced. Mm-hmm. And especially now, we're just trying to play, work on the stuff that we've been looking at, see what works, see what doesn't. And that's basically what you were just saying.
Yeah. Like I remember I broke my hand right before my senior year. And I wasn't supposed to practice. And I was like, I'm going to practice. I can practice with my left hand. Mm. And I said, if I'm practicing with my left hand, by the time I get this one back,
my
left hand's better, you know? So I'm sitting here playing left-handed. Like, we're in practice, we're scrimmaging in practice. I got 47, this and this and this. I got so fucking cocky that right before the season, I cut the cast off. I didn't need it. I was like, they won't let me wear it because it is going to hurt someone. So I cut my cast off just so I can start the season. And I didn't have to worry about anything. And I was fucking killing everyone still. But it was just the thought of me training so much with this left hand mm-hmm. because I never really went left. Like, you can't stop me going right. And then when I went right before my senior year and I broke and I had to do everything with my left, mm-hmm. and it was just like one of those like, oh, I don't have to miss the first 8-10 games of the season. Let's go. And then I came in, coach was like, oh, Lord Jesus.
Hopefully that bone was healed.
What do you, like, what do, you do? I'm. This looks good right now. I mean, I haven't shot a jumper with it, but getting to that basket. So it's just like Like, I remember when I used to watch Kobe train in pregame, and I remember one day he took 500 jumpers with his left. That game didn't take one. Mm-hmm. Didn't take one during the game, but that whole session was just left-hand jumpers. Like, I mean, just left-hand, just working on it.
I mean, you remember when he hurt his shoulder, I think it was his rotator cuff, yeah, against the Hornets, mm-hmm, and he was making shots left-handed, and the announcers were like, oh, I can't believe you're shooting this left-handed. Because he's worked on it so much.
He trained on it for years. Mm-hmm. Like he was so advanced in workouts that he trained to the point where he says, what if I hurt my arm? I need this one to be strong. So let me start training this one now because, mm-hmm, you know, if I hurt my right arm, I can't play. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. I'm going to train this one. Yeah. So when this hurts or this is sore, I got this one. It's cool. It's, you know, and that's, he tried finding, he worked out so he never had to be off the floor.
Mm-hmm. But think of the fear that puts in the defense is like you could try to take something away, which they're going to do. And then if he suddenly can spin and then you can use your left in a situation where they didn't really expect you to do that, they're like, shit, now we can't guard that either.
Stop it. Yeah.
You want to be an unstoppable monster. Yeah. And that's all it is. Breaking your game down, understanding your weaknesses, you know, and learning how to get better.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and that's all it is. Mm-hmm. To the next level, it's, and this is hard to, it sounds simpler than it really is, mm-hmm, but, you know, like, where do you rank right now?
Not the ranking so far.
Oh, that's cool. I made 100 my senior year. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, when I finished, I was like, I'm 100. Yeah. Cha-cha-cha. You know, like that seems great to me. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is just chopping at everyone's legs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all it is. Like, you got to remember, you're more dangerous than everybody else is. Mm-hmm. Because you got to remember, they don't know who you are. Yeah. You know, so if they don't know who you are, you have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you go into tournaments and, you know, Mikey is ranked number one, and he's looking at you like, man, this guy. The best part about that is, if you kill me, it don't change my rank. Because I'm not ranked. But if I kill you, I'm the man. Mm-hmm. So you go into that mentality is, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm going to score. I don't give a fuck about this win. It's AAU. I'm going to score. Try to score 50 on you, bro.
Yeah.
I used to go into AAU games just taunting. Just going like top five, like, what? Oh, you're top five, huh? Like, you're garbage, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I play you, I'm trying to score 50 on you. Like, I'm gonna embarrass you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Because I knew my AAU team, the ball only went to me, so it didn't really matter. We got beat by 50, it'd be like 100 to 20 to 75. I got 55. You know what I mean? But as the fifth best player, someone just scored 55 on you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that was my way of just creeping. Like, and I'm just creeping, mm-hmm, just getting better, mm-hmm, playing with adult. Like, if you're the number one high school kid, all right, let me just go play adult league.
And that's
let me play against these college kids. Let me get to UCLA, mm-hmm, get that bump. Let me jump into the Drew League. Yeah. Because you got to remember, those guys are better than high school. Mm-hmm. So a couple rounds with them, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and this, when I do jump back into my what's the name, there's no competition. Like, you, I don't give this shit what the ranking says. You guys cannot even, this is too easy. You know, and that's what you got to just challenge yourself and say, all right, if I'm going to be double team, when I train, two defenders, let's go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so right now, I think over the past few years, like, I've kind of had, like, built this chip on my shoulder to, like, just prove everyone wrong. And no matter who I go at, I'm gonna kill you, you know? And that's because I haven't had the same success. I'm kind of, like, grateful because that's the way I think now, mm-hmm, you know?
That's if you look at even from the Michael Jordan thing, he got snubbed his rookie season. His freshman year, and then that chip that just fueled him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, you have to, it's like, you know, having gasoline in the fire. You know, there has to be gasoline to keep this fire burning. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter if you got to make it up, you know, you got to be, you know, you got to understand, like, if you scored 50 on me, the next time you play me, you, because you score 50, you're not as aggressive the next time. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out the way to score 60 or 70. Mm-hmm. You know, that has to be your mindset. Oh, he said what against me? He said I couldn't top that. Mm-hmm. You know, and you like you have to create the
look for the motivation.
Yeah, you gotta look for it, you know, and that's the like even when you do get ranked, mm-hmm. you find someone like he's better than me? Oh, hell no. And you have to just keep climbing that chart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And before you know it, you're going to look up, you're like, oh, I'm top five senior. But I should be number one. Then going to college, they had two years, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, you're top five in a draft. Okay. Mm-hmm. Guess I'll come out. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where you're putting in so much work, so much dedication that time and stats that doesn't even mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, I went to college as going to be a 50-year senior. Red shirt, 4 years, chasing Terry. Mm-hmm. You know, I put in so much work, 2 years, coach says, into the draft. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, and then from there, I get snubbed in there, and that fueled me then. You know what I mean? You just got to find ways to just keep getting better. That is the key.
Yeah.
All right, Gil, what I want to do with Ben is run some Game Recognizes Game. And you've worked with him for a while with Dash. You've literally seen him grow, 3 inches in the past year?
Yeah, that's a different player.
That's that growth spurt that we all wait for at some point. It'll get there. What do you want to see Ben accomplish and do next? Mm-hmm.
His dreams. You know, I want you to accomplish your dreams because I know the work ethic you put in mm-hmm. from then to now. You know, so, you know, ranking, nothing, none of that means anything if you accomplish your dreams. You know, if you get to where you're trying to get to, mm-hmm. you know, that's all that matters because at the end of the day, you can be the number one pick, you can be the last pick in the draft. You both got to step on that court at some time.
And perform.
So you have to perform. You know what I mean? And because of your mentality, that mentality needs to get to where it's going. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let anybody, like, doubt. Listen, you can doubt someone's game, but you can't doubt their work ethic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As long as you have that work ethic, the rest of the stuff falls in place.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be obsessed with greatness, obsessed with getting better. You know what I mean? That's
the process.
That's the process, mm-hmm. you know? And your job is to try to fix, like if I say, hey, here's 100,000 shots. 100,000 shots, you will make it to the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. You got 12 months to get there, right? You should be so obsessed with this 100,000 that I want 200,000. Because if you're saying I'm gonna make it to the NBA, cool. But when I don't wanna just make it there. I wanna be the greatest when I get there. So I'm gonna take 200,000 shots in that 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, that's that, you know, learning the rules, every rule of high school and how it moves mm-hmm. and what happens. You gotta be obsessed with just being great.
Yeah.
And once it starts getting in there, it's like a rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get out of that rabbit hole, you all-star, all NBA, you know, you know what I mean? It ain't no fun journey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you done said, this is where I'm going, friends, family, they become second natured. Yeah. It's like, hey, man, come over. I got 2,000 shots to do today. I'm bored. I'm angry. Mm-hmm. I had a bad game. I had a good game. I'm so happy I want to shoot more. You know, and that's what happens. You know, if you look at James Harden, he scores, 55, 60, and still in the gym 2 more hours. He was so excited that he wanted to celebrate by shooting more.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get, you know, that's where that life becomes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was asking Steph, I said, what's your routine? I said, I do about 300 makes a day, you know, in the summer, 700 makes. You know, for mad, 1,000, 2,000, you know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you just, you know, and that's how you get better.
Mm-hmm. And what we were saying back to that Mamba mentality was that you have to be relentless. Mm-hmm. You're never satisfied. You just keep working and working and working because if you have that tunnel vision, there's no limit to where you can go.
No limit. Mm-hmm.
And what you said, Gil, dreams. You know, that word is funny because people hear the term dreams and they feel like it'll never happen because mm-hmm. it's just that, it's a dream. But really, it's also, dreams are where the creativity comes to establishing your goals. Mm-hmm. So you're like, whatever I dream, if I put it out there, I can get to it. So what are your dreams at the moment?
So I want to make it to the NBA, and I want to be the best. That's the goal. That's what I'm working to. And I believe that no matter what happens now, if I put in that work, which is what I have been doing, if I sacrifice everything to my dreams, I'll accomplish it. I don't care what people say. That's the way I think, and I'm not gonna let like.
You got the right number on for that mentality. That's how it is. You know, everyone has dreams, but no one actually tries to pursue it. You know, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's my dream. I'm going, yeah. You know, no, if that's your dream, you everything goes. This is it. I'm going for it. You know what I mean? There's nothing else. There's no plan B and plan C. Yeah. And no, it's here, it's there, and as long as I'm moving forward, it's there. Know what I mean? The dream, you gotta remember, a dream means that's the finish line. Only way to get to the finish line is actually move. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's that time, Ben. It's At Asian Zero time. And I know Ben came in today equipped, so Gil, you're up.
My three questions? I actually have them on my phone. Let me
get those. Oh, right. I told you, homework. That's one thing to come on, No Chill. You got to do your homework.
Okay.
I was going to say, how were you able to develop mentally? What allowed you to become? Because I know I've listened to how you talk. Mm-hmm. What helped you develop that part of your game?
The mental aspect of it, you know, being mentally strong is going through adversity. Mm. You know, going, you know, hearing someone say you can't do it and you do it. Mm. You know what I mean? Just realizing, you know, that no matter what a score is, down 20, down 30, the confidence of getting that win by any means necessary.
Yeah.
You know, carrying your team on a shoulder. You know, making, you know, starting varsity with all seniors as a freshman. You know, this team, you know, everyone left. I'm by myself and take it on my back. They said we were going to lose. So the mentality is created through adversity of what you're going through. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that confidence, you can't knock the confidence down because I done did it all. I done seen it. How many freshmen is gonna say you got a whole senior class and you up there sitting there rolling with it? Yeah. You know, everyone left said we wasn't gonna make it and we went to the third round. You know, so the confidence is built through, you know, these impossible, you know, missions that you put me on and I just, okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I said. Like with me, it was like no one ever made it to the NBA from the Valley. And I'm like, I'm gonna make it. You know what I mean? Just like everyone else said it. And then once I made it, they was like, but you was like a second round. Oh, that's what you want to throw out now. First I wasn't gonna make it. Now I'm a second round. Let me get the fuck off this bit. And then, you know, just boom, 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 boom. You know, and then it became my cockiness because you guys are not as good as they said you were. You know, and that's what it is. You might be talented, but because you don't have it here, I'm just going to eat through that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's what it was. It was just Tasmanian devil.
Okay, another one that I had is, so someone like you, you're watching the younger players. What are you looking for? Like, what are the most important things that you want to see in them?
The most important thing is this is what they want to do. You know, it's not something that the parents want them to do. It's not something that I'm just out here having fun with the friends. It's something that this is what they want to do. I mean, you have, you know, gifted players that because they're gifted, that they can exceed and just have this cakewalk through life, you know, on, you know, sports and athletics. Then you have guys who work it. You know, you want the workers because you got to remember, if they're gifted too, they're the GOATs. You know what I mean? That's where the GOATness comes from, where, you know, the Michael Jordans and all this, because they're physically more gifted, plus they have this blue-collar work ethic, it, you know, it pushes them above. You know, so it's that, it's, does the kid have the work ethic?
Yeah.
You know, no matter what is talented, does he have the work ethic? Does he want to be here? Because I don't want to, like, force somebody to be somewhere they really don't want to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if, you know, that's why I tell parents, I say, hey, listen, hold on. Before you're yelling, before you yell at him, and does he actually want to play the sport? Does he want to be great? Because if he wants to be great, and you don't have to force him.
He'll do it on his own.
They're going to do it on his own. They're going to wake up 2-3 in the morning and say, hey, can you drive me over here? I want to get some shots up. You know what I mean? Wake up at 5, bouncing the ball. They got to tell you, hey, stop that shit. You know, that's what you should be saying as a parent. To turn the TV down, you know? Yeah. Nobody want to hear the game. You know, that's the kind of kid you want. You want to be able to, all you're doing as a parent is just driving him to the places he want to go. You know, he want to go to Santa Monica. Okay, let's go. I got to get him a car, get him a, whatever you got to do, because he's so obsessed with trying to be great.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, you know, parents, you know, just growing up in the era where, you know, if the parents don't see your dream, you know, it's the reason that kid still makes it is because it was his dream. He was still obsessed with it. No matter if you know, a guy who's dancing all the time, and then he becomes, whoo, Chris Brown, and this part, you know, because he's obsessed with just that whole thing about it. So it's just, what I'm looking for is, you know, are they obsessed? Are they willing to be obsessed? You know, are they willing to get better? Like, what is their, you know, if it's pure talent or work ethic? You know what I mean? You know, I'll take the work ethic over the pure talent. You know, like with you.
Have one more.
What helps you is, you know, let's say you're 5'11 with this attitude, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's taller. But then you become 6'3", 6'4". Now you're taking a 6'3", 6'4" person with this little man's mentality.
Little man's confidence.
Yeah. You, now he's unstoppable. You know what I mean? Because now he's just as big and physical as everyone, but he has this dog mentality. Like, he has this dog. It's like, yeah, he was a chihuahua just, you know, barking. Now he's the actual pit bull.
Yeah.
You got another one?
I have one more. I actually just thought of this.
On the spot, I like it.
So you're saying you weren't ranked till senior year.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So what sort of things did you do when you were younger that helped you, like, push through, like, being, like, the underdog?
See, you know, this is a different time versus back when I played. Like, when I played, there was only two AAU programs. It was the Cavs, and then you had the Pumps. But to get to the Pumps, you had to play ARC and North Hollywood. So first, we was all park. Everyone was park league. So, you know, I'm the best player in my park. And then you like, hey, man, you should go try out for the ARC. And then you get the ARC. And then from there, you know, so it was like this stepping stone of, you know, L.A., you know. And then it was like, my boy lives in L.A. Like, man, the comp out there. So then you got to drive to Venice Beach and drive to, you know. So what ends up happening is you get killed by the L.A. guy. Now you're angry because, you know, how is this guy that good at a younger age? You know, how do I catch him? You know, so what ended up happening is the underdog wasn't truly underdog here. It was underdog to what was out there. You know, I can see here. I can see all the players here. It was the unknown of all this greatness, you know, that I couldn't see, and that fueled me. It paranoid me. Like, you know, you got eighth graders windmilling, you know, ninth graders, like, you know, head at the rim. And I'm like, I haven't even learned how to dunk yet. Like, is that, you know, I remember when I first met Carlos Boozer, you know, I thought he was a camp counselor. Now, a college kid, you know, he's sitting there 6'9", 245, you know, and then he says, oh, I'm a player, I'm a sophomore. And I'm like, it almost killed me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what an NBA player is. Like, I have no hope. And then watched his first game, broke the backboard. You know, so it's like, Jesus Christ. So now you're just watching talent, and you're like, the only thing I have for me is they don't even know who I am to fail. So let me just start studying. And then I just started studying everybody. Started studying their weaknesses. Mm. And then because you got to remember, when you're playing against somebody, if you don't know them, everything is, they have their whole arsenal. But when you start breaking it down and say, wait, hold on, he can't do this, his ranking to you goes lower. Because you're like, the only reason that he looked good because no one knows this is what he does. Mm. You take this away, he has no other game. Rank two, you're below me now. They just don't know it yet. Yeah. And that's what I was doing. I was just, oh, he's not top 10. Nope. Yeah. He's only good because he's taller than everyone right now. Nope. Yeah. And that's all I was doing. Yeah. And you know what I mean? So it was one of those things where, yeah, the scouters, they don't know, but I know.
Yeah.
You know, that's all that matters. I know. I have a complete game. They haven't seen it yet. I mean, they're not really paying attention because my name is not as big. But I know he's not better than me. He's not better than me. He's not better than me. He's okay. I still got a couple more months before I catch his talent. But when I catch it, he's done. He's done. You know, it's just.
To finish out that thought, because there are great players and you recognize you play against LeBron, great player. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do is you have to find something in him, something you could take away, a weakness, a weak spot, a chink in the armor.
Mm-hmm. You know, no matter if you know a guy's weakness, you still have to perfect it. And what I mean by is, like Kobe. I knew Kobe couldn't move left or right as fast as I can, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I knew I couldn't do the same move twice because he'd catch the movement that I did to get him the first time. Mm-hmm. So if you see any clips, you'll see, I'll cross him over there, left to right the first time, mm-hmm. go. Second time, load up right to left, right? I wouldn't do those two moves again anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, if I did a crossover, it'd probably be in and out fake cross, you know, and get him shifty because I knew like, and then once I go. So you're like, you couldn't, like with a young Kobe, you couldn't, what James Harden does, you couldn't do him like that. He will gravitate to your whole bounce, like 1, 2, 3, shift, 1, 2. Like, he'll figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just get to the point. So it was like one of those, he's Kobe, top defender, this and this. But in my element, he's no defender to me. You know what I mean? And that's how I was having success against those guys. Yeah. Like, the Rajah Bales and, you know, the Matrix and, you know, Bruce Bowens, I'm taking their strength and their weakness, and then I'm only keeping them in their weakness. So no matter how great you think you are, I'm gonna sit there and poke the whole theory out of your, you know what I mean? And that's what I was doing.
Yeah. You know what I think, Gil? I think we have another Valley Killer on our hands.
Yes, sir.
I think the game is in good place. Ben Stolzberg, thanks Thank for coming you. On No Chill.
Thank you.
Got a great head on your shoulders. You're getting the reps in now, and you've got goals that are, you set the bar high for yourself, but those are within reach, so we just can't wait to watch.
Thank you.
What next season brings. You tell them, listen,
it's high goals for your talent. Tell them, it ain't high for me, man. Tell them.
Oh, it already counts me.
You worked out too much for it to be high. It's like, it's right there.
Yeah. Man, I'm already past that window.
You're in the process. Go, you know, I got my junior year, my senior year, and then boom. Mm-hmm.
And then come back and show us what you did.
Yeah, of course.
Because you know we'll be watching.
Yeah, we go right before you get to the draft, we got you.
Got you. All right, thanks for tuning in to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. That's Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. Don't forget, you can catch us every Monday at 8 o'clock on Fubo. We'll see you next time.